Well, we got a full house, and I understand we have some breaking news coming up. Lydia, who do we have on?
Well, we have John Solomon on. He's our intrepid investigative reporter of justthenews.com. And John Solomon, I almost said John, what do you have for us?
Lots of breaking news. Just in the last 15 minutes, some pretty shocking revelations. Let's start in the Detroit area where that tragic high school student shooting occurred yesterday. Prosecutors have announced they're going to charge the shooter, a 15-year-old by the name of Ethan Crumbly, with murder as an adult. But there's an amazing revelation that the sheriff just made in the press conference that ended a few minutes ago. The school had met with this 15-year-old and his parents just before the shooting. And the day before the shooting, discuss his behavior, concerns that he was engaged in very concerning behavior, maybe a missed opportunity to have stopped the shooting by intervening more aggressively. Police said they weren't brought into that conversation. The sheriff's department did not know the school had concerns about Ethan Crumbly and had a conversation with him just before the shooting. Going to be a lot of armchair quarterbacking and maybe lessons learned on how to stop future school shooters based on what happened at Oxford High School in Michigan. That's the big story. A few minutes ago in Georgia, Stacey Abrams, the Democratic Party's most famous voting activist, she announced she's going to make another run for governor in 2022 in Georgia. Why is that significant? Long before Donald Trump contested any election results, Stacey Abrams was the first person to make a big stink, suggesting an election had been stolen from her when she ran from governor and lost in 2018 in Georgia. So she'll be rematched most likely with Governor Brian Kemp in that state. That's a big story. And if you haven't had the chance to see this yet, there's brand new body cam video from the officers in the Rittenhouse trial who stopped an NBC producer. And let's just remind people what happened. At the end of the Rittenhouse trial, there was MSNBC and NBC were thrown out of the courtroom, said they couldn't cover the verdict because one of their producers had followed the jurors home that night. NBC did this. We don't know anything about that. We have no idea what they're talking about. This is unfair. Well, the police have now released the body cam video footage. When they stopped that NBC producer, the first thing the guy says when he stopped, "My bosses in New York told me to tail the jurors." NBC's got some explaining to do tonight.
No kidding.
Wow. Now, today, I don't know exactly what happened, but we have a few people in studio that might know. And, John, the market went from up 500 points this morning to down 400 points at night. What the heck happened?
Well, there was a 1,000-point swing. It was quite dramatic. And the worst part about it is you always try to watch the trading at the end of the day. And, again, it was down about 240, 250 points right around 4 o'clock, down over 400 points. I think concern over this new variant is causing a lot of angst. And you combine it with what you heard from the Fed, a potentially earlier taper. So it's a confluence of things. People get nervous and they're just moving out. Didn't like the action at all today. Didn't like the action on Monday after Friday's big loss because it starts up strongly and then comes off at the end of the day. I want to see a day that ends on a strong note and we're not seeing it. Oil got hit. We were sitting around this table before Thanksgiving. Oil was at $78. Today it's at $65. You would think that this new variant is going to lock down the economy. It is not. People are tired of lockdowns. They're not going to tolerate it anymore. So I think this is a big overreaction on the oil market. On the stock market, we just have to be careful here because there's a lot of things at play.
Wow.
And this new variant has been proven to be mild. The man who's first diagnosed in the United States in California, I mean, I'm sure there are more cases. But there, do you guys believe that Biden says he's not going to have any lockdowns and there's going to be no restrictions? Do you believe the president? How about you, Senator Alphonse D'Amato? Do you believe him?
I have a tough time believing anything that my old friend, and I say old friend or former friend, the president says. I don't believe him. I think you can't believe anything he says. All right. Don't forget the generals didn't say he should not withdraw. You know, take whatever he says, and you can't believe. You just can't believe it. But let me tell you something else. Today I heard that the head coach at Notre Dame, which has had a great year, Brian Kelly, has done the same thing that he did about 10 years ago when he left the University of Cincinnati They had an undefeated team, and instead of seeing them in their bowl game, he quit because he had a start with Notre Dame. Today, he announced that he is leaving and trying to take his coaches with him, his defensive coordinator, his offensive coordinator. He's not going to see Notre Dame play in any of their playoff games. They've had a great season. They're ranked number 5. And he said, well, I wanted to be with the best, so he's going to LSU. Guess what? You are a piece of dreck. And I had 6 of my daughter's 7 grandchildren I sent to Notre Dame. Let me tell you, you deserve what you get, LSU, because a guy who says, I want to be with the best, here he is again, a stranger to the truth. And, John, you had something to say about that, the guy who does that.
How does it say it?
They're full of crap.
That's a friend of ours said that.
There's an old saying, a leopard doesn't change his spot. He's a piece of dreck.
Right. John Solomon, what else is hot news out there? This book that's coming out about Hunter Biden, any updates on that?
Oh, listen, there's so much to learn about Hunter Biden. It's hard to kind of follow Brian Kelly. That was pretty well done. But let me try to do it. Listen, it is so clear now, so clear that the Biden family had an enormous reliance on income, revenue, business relationships with China. So much so that Senator Grassley in the last 48 hours sent a letter saying, listen, no matter what stripe of political color you are, no matter how you view the president, it's our responsibility in Congress to look at the possibility that the Biden family in the United States is compromised by these relationships with China. Every day, new things are coming out in this book by the great New York Post columnist who spent a year looking at the laptop. I spent a long time looking at the laptop and, of course, did a lot of reporting in 2018-19 that didn't make President Biden and his family very happy. But there is a real concern among people that are serious lawmakers that...
No, we lost him.
We lost...
Family.
He's back.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yep, a strong concern that there is
now,
a compromised family.
That video that everybody has about him in the Ukraine, that attorney general in the Ukraine that was after his son, and he says, unless you fire him, I'm not giving you the $1 billion that our government is supposed to give you.
Yeah, within that was my story at the Hill.
Within 6 hours, he says, I'm leaving on the plane. And if you don't fire this prosecutor, I'll get on the plane.
No money.
And you won't get the money. And then he starts laughing. This is on film. This is him bragging to the New York Council, Foreign Relations Council. And he goes, ha, ha, ha. And they fired him. And I gave him the $1 billion.
Now, the question is,
where was the media?
Who... The FBI is supposed to investigate.
Where's the investigation?
The FBI is supposed to investigate this stuff. Did he give the same order he gave in the Ukraine?
John, they're too busy. They're too busy investigating moms that show up at school board meetings to complain about the curriculum.
Don't you know white supremacy is the greatest threat?
They're terrorists.
No, white supremacists. White supremacy is the greatest threat facing our nation.
But the other, this is Richard Weinberg, John. The other real problem.
Judge Richard Weinberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Here comes the judge.
Your Honor.
The big problem for me is not only this alleged corrupt behavior by the relatives of the Vice President of the United States, but the very fact that before the election, this was breaking news, to use your expression, and they never covered it. They repressed it. They suppressed it.
They did.
They wouldn't give any airing to it.
I think the FBI should be independent and not responsible to the politicians.
Well, you know what, John? This is Craig. I think the FBI's changed over the last few years. They were always, you know, that shining star organization. And in the last few years, I think they've become political. And I think that's part of the problem.
Well, they report to a political organization because head of the Department of Justice is appointed by politicians.
But what for what it's worth, York? I think the door kickers are still really good people, and I think that we stop a lot of crime.
I always say this, 99.9% of the FBI are great people.
It's just those 4 or 5
patriotic
at the top.
People. Yep. But the people on top
the administration,
that they report to, they give an order. If they saw somebody was guilty, and the boss of the Department of Justice says, Forget about it.
Drop it.
What do you do? Mm-hmm.
But what about the $1 billion that the mayor's office spent on that project that no one knows where that money is? Why is that not being investigated?
How do they say it in Brooklyn? Forget about it.
That's what we say in Brooklyn. But where's the investigation of that?
That's a lot of money. What about the IRS? Do you feel that that's a political weapon as well?
Well, this is the problem. Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. You have 85,000 new IRS agents that are going to be hired. If the politicians are using the FBI, will they be using the IRS?
But they did it before. The Obama administration used Susan Lerner to shut down conservative voices.
Lois Lerner. But he went only after organizations that opposed him. There wasn't a single one on the list that was a friend of the administration. It was only people that he disagreed with.
It must have been a coincidence.
Very coincidental.
I got another topic for you guys.
Well, let's finish. John Solomon... our senator from West Virginia,
Mr. Manchin,
his wife is going to get in the new $1 billion in funding for her commission. Is he going to vote on his wife's side?
You know what? I'm not sure. Everybody missed this the day before Thanksgiving, but Joe Manchin put out a statement on Joe Biden's energy policy. This is right after Joe Biden released the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which obviously didn't have any effect on gas prices, just like we talked last week. We predicted it, right?
Yep.
He said that what the president was creating was a Band-Aid, and that with the energy transition underway across this country, it's critical that Washington does not jeopardize America's energy security. He called the policies of the president short-sighted. He's referring to that Green New Deal component in this bill. I don't think Joe Manchin is moving off that bill yet. I think he is still blocking it. He banged the president for closing down the Keystone Pipeline. He is just making America more reliant on OPEC. He has doubled down on his opposition to the bill in the last couple of weeks, even knowing that his wife is about to get a big pile of money for her Appalachian Commission.
Well, John, isn't it true that West Virginia is our largest coal producing state in the continental? And you've got a lot of coal miners there, and this administration and their hostility towards the energy industry, I think Joe Manchin knows where his bread is buttered, and it's to the voters. It's not to the administration.
I hope you're right. The pressure on him is just incredible. And to make available $1 billion for his wife to administer, if you want to talk about trying to bribe someone, I've never seen anything that comes close to this. I hope that Joe Manchin continues to stand strong. I admire him for his courage. There are very few in any political party that would have the nerve to do what he's doing. And his colleague from Arizona, the woman, I wouldn't be a bit surprised, notwithstanding of what Joe does, and I hope he stands strong, that she ultimately will be the one who stops this horrendous bill that will for all times make us a socialist country. It will kill the initiative of working people to go out there, the people who struggle. The greatness of this country was that our forefathers, my grandparents, could come here with nothing and work the most menial, the hardest jobs, work day and night and set an example for their kids and made this country great. And let me tell you, they had to overcome discrimination. Discrimination that was much worse in those days than it is today. Absolutely. The Irish, the Italians, the Poles, the Jews, all of the people who came here. And the poor Greeks. You guys didn't start coming over.
And the Albanians, too.
They all had to overcome it. And we made this country a better place for it. We have overcome it. Is it perfect? No. But we are moving in the right direction. And all they want to do is tear it down. Tear it down.
Speaking of which, John Solomon, are you aware of this boycott that's been called by Black Lives Matter against Christmas shopping? They want to.
We have, in fact, that started on our site. That was our story last Sunday.
Would you tell us about that, please?
It is a remarkable story. So remember that during the George Floyd tragedy, a lot of retailers in America made donations either directly to the Black Lives Matter organization or in the name of Black Lives Matter for other organizations. A lot of these retailers make their bread and butter on the Christmas holiday shopping season. BLM, the day after Thanksgiving, put out a statement saying they are running a Black Xmas campaign. They took Christ out of Christmas, did the Black Xmas thing. That's well known in the Marxist world as a symbol for them. But the goal was to expose Christmas for being a white supremacist capitalist ploy. That is their words. That is what they're choosing to do.
Are they giving back the hundreds of millions of dollars they got?
Or what about Patrice Cullors? What did she have? Four mansions?
Four homes. She giving back those homes?
Beverly Hills or
whatever? Apparently that's not capitalism. I don't know what we call it.
Redistribution.
Yes, redistribution of wealth. Exactly. So we called all the retailers and said, hey, are you okay with this? I mean, you make your money on this. They're slamming your big holiday. Not a single one would answer the question. Not a single one.
Nobody has the courage. That's the problem.
Nope.
Paralyzed.
Yeah.
Yep. John Prado.
Yes.
The amount of oil that can come down from Canada. Well, what's going on with that? I mean, Canada has so much oil.
We have the third largest reserves in the world and probably the largest. So that's about 170 billion barrels. So, you know, John, you often say we've got 100 years of oil and gas. It's even longer than that. The problem is access. Killing Keystone XL hurt America's interests. It led a president to ask OPEC for help. Not once, not twice. I understand there were over 2 weeks of negotiations, and they were rebuffed. Why are you asking people that don't have your values or your interests for support when you can have Canadian oil, by the way, which is owned in many cases by Americans, including Exxon, shipped to the Gulf Coast, refined, creating jobs in America, and security for this country? It makes no sense. So right now we're sending just over 4 million barrels of oil. The problem is we have so much, and it's different than in the U.S. where you have to constantly drill. This is just like a manufacturing plant. It's an oil sands. We just got to get it out of the sand, and we can ship it down. But we need access. We got problems with Line 3, problems with Line 5 that we discussed around this table. By the way, I think this show here influenced Line 5, by the way, and Keystone XL. Not to mention, we've got problems with natural gas pipelines in this country. New England can't get American nat gas from Pennsylvania because New York State blocks it, the constitutional pipeline. It makes no sense. Let's create jobs here. Let's have security here. Let's have money stay in this country, not go to overseas.
Well, we're shipping the wealth of America to Russia, to the OPEC nations, to China.
China.
Yeah, on the rare earth metals, yes.
But guys, we were talking about the Biden laptop. I think this all plays directly, at least with this administration, into the pocketbook of the president
the
and his
power?
Relatives.
Agreed.
If he's able to say, I'm going to turn it
if
off.
If the president of the United States he wants to do things his way, which may be detrimental to the United States, but he's still the president, who stops him?
I would argue that he has done exactly that, John, and the only remedy we have is the vote. I mean, unless
that doesn't come up for a while.
Yeah.
Well, are you ready to use the two-word?
Americans are getting poorer. Russia is getting richer. The OPEC nations are getting richer. China is getting richer. Canada, along with the United States, is getting poorer.
There's a word for this. You're not saying it, but there's a word.
I'm not going to use that T-word.
Well, they don't call it the Green New Deal.
But what is it when you enrich your enemies and you deplete your own country?
It's that T-word.
Let's take a break
before we say that T-word. let's take a break, and when we come back, John Solomon, thank you so much for coming on today, and thank you for telling the truth to the American people.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
Great day.